News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is Dan and Dalton. It's nearly 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings on your Tuesday, edging a little bit closer to Thursday, Thanksgiving.
Turkey Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe some rain on Thanksgiving Day, but other than that, pretty clear forecast for us going forward. And then we finally get some winter temperatures at the end of the weekend and over the weekend.
Yeah.
As we head into December. So
seriously cold with lows down around freezing.
Yeah, about time. And this will be a week that a lot of students on both sides of the bay are off, as we have the holiday, of course, and kind of a good breaking point in the semester to talk about how schooling has gone this year. And in studio with us right now, Johnny Hatcher, with the commissioner with the Mobile County Public School Board. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
So so far this year, pretty, as far as the schooling is concerned, students having a good time out there, pretty successful year so far.
You know, I don't want to jinx myself, but so far so good.
Yeah,
you had a season full of football games, and
well, I really won't talk about that.
no real incidents, I guess what I'm saying.
No. We really did good with that. I'm a Bobcat, a little Bobcat, man. They just really, they had some tough times this year, so it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was a little, they struggled on offense. Now, we were down in Gulf Shores where they made it a miraculous play to win that game. So that was...
I love Theodore, but that wasn't a play. That was luck. that was what you would call a fluke best. But I'll take the win.
Yeah.
I mean, we needed it for sure.
And you still have Viger, of course, kicking.
Viger's doing good. Yeah. Man, isn't that great? You know, it reminds me of the, what was that, 98, Dan?
Yep.
They're back at it.
And also, they've won it in the last... 2010, I think Viger won it. 2000, somewhere in the 12s, 13s, or something like that. But yeah, they've got a good team, and when they have good coaching, you've got a chance to go a long way. Montgomery Catholic's probably going to be a really tough opponent. They are easily unbeaten this year, crushing everyone.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's scary for us, but hopefully we can pull something out.
Well, and we have these new football stadiums on so many of these campuses that are a year, some of them maybe 2 years in use now at this point. And what's kind of been the response to those since they've come up? I imagine fans pretty excited they don't have to leave campus in many instances to get to these games.
Oh yeah, look, you don't have to delay games, you don't have to cancel games due to the field being so bad that you can't play on it. It brings a variety of positives, and you know the kids love playing on it. You know, the one thing I kept hearing from people is, you know, you're going to get more injuries on turf and this, that, and the other. And I said, have you played on our field? if you ain't been out there with them gopher holes, buddy, I will tell you. Them kids have been lucky not to get hurt.
Yeah. And by the way, I was at one of the first games at the last year with the brand. It was the grand opening of the Viger Stadium, right there on the highway. It was Viger UMS. The place looked spectacular. You could feel the pride in the people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That was really
cool. It has brought the communities back out to the schools.
Yep.
And I love it. I mean, let me tell you something. When I first got elected, I mean, guys, you know, I was real strong on education. I still am. I think it's very important, academics. Now, what I have since learned, if you have a good, strong sports program, it drives your academics because everybody wants to be part of a winning team. And you know what? If you got a good disciplined sports program all the way around, your football, your baseball, your basketball, you have a less disciplined problems in your school.
Yep.
I mean, it drives everything. And you know what? I definitely overlooked that. I missed that when I ran. But, hey, I know how important it is now, so I'm on top of it.
They connect each other.
Yes, sir, they do, very much.
Let's talk about some things that were in the news this week and looking forward to the future of MCPSS as well. This paying back taxes to the steel company, Outokumpu Stainless USA, this Mobile County, Northern Mobile County, I believe, up on 43 maybe. And so the Mobile County school system now having to pay back taxes about $3.1 million and then knock it up to about $4 when you include interest. And not just Mobile County Public School System, but you have Saraland, Chickasaw, Satsuma City Schools are going to have to put in on this as well. Talk a little bit about this. Was this kind of expected? Did you have this has been fighting it out in the court for a little while, right?
This is way before I got on the board. This is over 6 years ago when all this happened. you know, I really am, I guess, disappointed that a company of that size and that wherewithal that they have financially would want that little measly $3 million, what it is to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means to us is a great deal for these children. And I would like to think that, you know, here's the part that really bothers me. You know, all these companies come in, and the one thing we have to do is sell them on education. It's got to be good schools, or we got to have an educated workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they come here, and they get all these tax abatements except for schooling, and then yet they don't even want to pay that? Come on. They want to argue about that? I don't think I'd argue about that if I was them.
So the company's argument, they overvaluated the taxes years ago?
And that's subjective. I mean, that's their guy saying it. And look, we didn't have a dog in the hunt. This is the tax assessor. We have no control over them whatsoever. We have nothing to do with them. They're their own entity. They go out there, they do it, and they come up with that figure. Well, the steel company said, well, we don't think that's correct.
Mm.
So they brought in their experts. And then they took it to court. And, of course, it went in front of a local judge here, Judge Young Peter. And he decided that they were right and we were wrong.
Hmm.
Well, not us, but the tax assessors. But it definitely adverse effect our schools, because now we've done our budget.
Right. It's been earmarked.
Yeah. So now we got to reel back and figure out who we're going to cut.
Hmm.
What are we going to do? We got to take something from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fun. That's
fun. When you're talking about education, it could be something that you had no intention of deleting.
You know, and I hate to say it like this, but it's almost like they're robbing our children of their education. I know that's not the intent or anything like that, but that's just how I feel. That's my personal feelings. I just don't like it. I think that, you know, when you have these big corporate companies, they have big corporate attorneys. And these attorneys, they're not your $350 an hour attorneys. They're not even your $650 an hour attorneys. They get up there. Some of them go to $2,500 an hour. Now, I don't know which ones they have, but I can tell you this. If it's been going on this long and this much in court and they've been fighting it this long, how much of that money do you reckon they actually got?
Mm.
I mean, why not just say, hey, we want to help the schools. Mm. You know what? We're gonna do a little extra. I mean, they already paid it. Why not just let them have it?
Yeah.
Because they're not taking it from me. They're not taking it from Ms. McDay. They're not taking it from any of the other board members. Who they're taking it from is the children. Ultimately, they're the ones affected. And that's where I have a problem. Especially we give them so many. They've gotten so many tax breaks, it's unreal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. $3.1 million coming out of the MCPSS coffers, and then another about $600,000 from the other school systems in the county. Also this week, we're talking with Commissioner Johnny Hatcher with the Mobile County School Board, and report cards and good news for Mobile, an increase in the overall report cards for MCPSS schools, up a couple points, 81. Have you seen, just from everything you've seen, going to these meetings, board meetings and things like that, seen an improvement overall in the schooling here?
I do. I see a lot of improvements. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to brag here for a second, and then I'm going to have to also share some disappointment, but two of the high schools that are in my district led the score. You had, I believe Baker was number one and Bryant was number two.
Okay.
And then my third, which is disappointing, is my alumni. They come in at 66, and we're hoping we can get that corrected pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so each school, obviously up or down, but overall from a 79 to an 81, I mean, that means that district-wide, there's been some pretty big improvements made.
Absolutely. Look, superintendent's done a great job. Look, when the report card came out last year, he had some butt-chewing sessions, and obviously they worked.
Hmm.
And it, you know, hey, much needed. But look where we're at now, and look where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to stop until we're, you know, the best system in the state. Nor am I, or any other board member. We all agree on that. We all want to move in that direction. We're going to really work hard to make sure that happens.
There's a breakdown of even school by school by school, like you guys were just talking about. But that can be seen where you can see exactly what this school in this district did. Is that available to the public?
Yes, absolutely. It's online.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's actually, I was just checking it out. There's the Alabama Department of Education, I guess on their website, if you go reportcard.alsde.com. mobilecounty.edu, then you can pick Mobile County School System and then each individual school.
Okay.
Or if your child's in obviously another school system, do the same there. So that's good news here in the grades.
Let me just say this. Now, the F that we had, I don't know how they can really justify giving us an F on a school that is, you know, that's part of, from my understanding, that's part of the Strickland. So,
Okay.
So when you have all that, it's kind of hard to. A lot of those kids are having problems anyway. Yeah. I don't think that school's on their mind at all.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the last thing on their mind. So they got bigger problems than that. So they're failing there. And then, of course, we get the.
You get the grade. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Talk with Johnny Hatcher with the Mobile County School Board. Let's get into this, too. You know, so many schools, it's obviously the biggest district in the state. And we've talked about air conditioning. So much upkeep when you're talking about so many different buildings of various ages and everything down from, you know, the. Making sure that you have walls that are still standing, ACs working, heaters working this time of year. I don't know how you guys keep up with it all. You said something may be coming up a little bit later today. Talk a little bit about kind of what's coming up here.
Well, I think it was roughly, I'd say a year ago, we talked about the flooring.
Mm-hmm.
We had some people come in and was overestimating and being paid for work they didn't do. They turned around and the materials that was left over, they helped themselves to that, took it off our properties. We have video of all this. Then they turned around, and we had one instance where they come in, and there was like an entire pallet of flooring left over. And the administrator said, listen, y'all got this flooring left over. Would y'all mind doing this room? He said, well, we can do it, but you're going to have to pay for the labor. We'll use the material, but you have to pay for the labor.
Mm.
They'd already paid for the labor.
Right.
If the material was there. So anyway, things like that happened. It was very egregious. It's well over $100,000. It's more than that. That's just what we've come up with so far.
That's big.
It's real big. And when the gentleman, I don't want to mention any names, one of the gentlemen was interviewed, he claimed that, yes, it sounds like we owe y'all some money.
Hmm.
Well, you don't owe us money. You owe us more than that, and I expect to get it.
So...
Yeah. How do the cards play out later on today? What's going on there?
You know, Dan, absolutely nothing up till yesterday.
Wow.
I have burned the phone up with the ADA asking him, you know, why haven't we been doing anything? Why are we moving with this? I'm, you know, really not getting any answers. I don't know if it can be done. I'm going to talk with the sheriff and see if we can't release the investigation they did. It's clear. You can read the investigation. It's pretty clear that we have been theft by deception. I think was the exact words in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so, and that's something that, you know, normal homeowners have seen from contractors before. We have the stories every so often about a contractor that goes in for fraud. But this isn't just, you know, a 2,500 square foot house we're talking about here with new floor. We're talking about a school system.
That's right.
So did they have all of the flooring they said they had? Were they storing it somewhere? Did they never have what?
You know, that's one of the things that was claimed, that they were storing it. And they talked to some of our people, the people we talked to, they said absolutely not. They have never, ever mentioned that to us at all. And I'll tell you one better than that. We've had that exact same flooring put down since then by the same company. And guess what we had to do?
What's that?
Pay for new flooring.
Hmm.
So if they were storing it for us, number one, why aren't we paying them a storage fee? They charge us for everything else. I don't know anybody that would store stuff for us and not charge us. That's number one. Number two, and it would be billed. They would be billing us for this.
Hmm.
We've not seen the first bill for any of that.
How much money are we talking about here as far as fraud's concerned?
Oh, we're hundreds of that. When it's all said and done, you'd have to keep going back. It's over $100,000. But as of, you know, the one thing I decided is, look, this is not, you know, this is, I can't make the DA's office do anything. The only thing I can do is just keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it, what can I do? Man, this is crazy. This just ain't right. And so I ended up getting a phone call from a federal agent, and I've spoken with him, and it looks like they're very interested because this flooring was bought with federal monies.
Hmm.
So now we got a bigger issue here.
Wow. Yeah, I imagine that would put a little twist in it.
It's going to put a twist in it. Look,
we'll stay tuned for that, Johnny. We need to We need to follow up on that and see what's going on. And you give us a call anytime, by the way.
Absolutely, and I will. I promise you, I'm not going to stop. Look, you're not going to steal from these kids' education and get away with it. I mean, they've been doing it, but they're not going to get away with it. I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah. Oh, you have made that clear. Your time is Commissioner Johnny Hatcher. We appreciate your time this morning, as every time you come in.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You got it. Johnny Hatcher with the Mobile County Public School System, with the board, of course. 8:21 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Back after this. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. On your Tuesday morning, getting closer to Turkey Day, so there's something to be happy about. Here's something to be happy about. If you're looking for an easy way to get out of town, Breeze Airways has got your ticket at Mobile International Airport, Michigan Avenue, with their new schedule. I'm telling you, it's never been easier to plan a quick getaway. Nonstop flights to Orlando. Think about that. All the choices you've got once you get to Orlando, fun to have. Now, it's every Friday and Monday, and the best part might be the fact that the flight starts as low as $39 one way. $39. Breeze Airways, known for its seriously nice flights, combining affordability with comfort and ease, and flights are on that Airbus A220, built right here in Mobile, right out by the new Mobile International Airport. Again, the big news is Breeze Airways now offers flights on Fridays and Mondays down to Orlando. Perfect round trips for weekend trips, or maybe an early morning or early week get out of town, get away. And flights starting as low as $39 one way. And you can book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Hassle-free direct flights from Mobile International Airport, just minutes from downtown to Orlando, with a flight time of just about 1 hour in the air, starting at just $39 one way. Go to flybreeze.com, FlyBreeze.com.
Now, there's probably no one happier that Matt Gaetz withdrew from the AG nomination than Kevin McCarthy, the former House Speaker, who, of course, was taken out of that position by Gaetz and the crew that was assembled by Gaetz in Congress not that long ago.
Probably still really hard feelings between the two of them.
I would definitely say so. So House Speaker Mike Johnson then takes over after McCarthy and was kind of on, well, certainly unsolid footing for some time there. Now you have this coming out with a new Congress set to be sworn in. Conservatives still apparently aren't sold on
Johnson.
Speaker Johnson.
No.
While he won the support of the House Republican Conference behind closed doors earlier this month, he still has to secure majority support on the floor of the House of Representatives January 3rd. But some in the Freedom Caucus right now are anonymously speaking and saying the Speaker's got work to do. Now, there are members who are thinking about whether they want to support him or not. He's not there yet. And we have some really razor-thin margins in the House. They still have three races left to be called. Remember that threshold you needed to win the House was 218. Right now, the GOP sitting at 219 congressional seats, 213 for Democrats. The three that remain to be called are all very close. Two in California, one in Iowa. And in the two California races, you have a Republican leading one at 50.1%. And you have a Democrat leading the other at 50.1%.
Wow.
And in the Iowa race, which is under a recount, and it's not expected to change the initial count, you have the Republican currently winning that race. So if things hold, two more seats to the Republicans, one more to the Democrats. That would give the GOP 221 seats to the Democrats 214, I believe, which those are thin margins. And if they keep for the House Speaker, in order to bring a vote to remove him, like they did with McCarthy, remember, they lowered that threshold to just one dissenting vote.
That's right.
And they can change the rules heading into this next session of Congress, but will they? That's another big question you have coming up. And are the further right members of the GOP happy with Johnson as House Speaker? It seems like some may be trying to negotiate before that big vote on January 3rd.
Maybe so. Sometimes it's this guy is on my last nerve, he's got to go. And sometimes it's the first chip in trying to get something done negotiating-wise.
That's probably more what we're looking at right here from some of the Freedom Caucus. Yeah.
8:29, well, just about 8:30 now. We've got news right around the corner on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Turning up your voice, 251-343-0106. Give a call. Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Text line 251-343-0106. Some of the things we... We'll try to get to here. How about Blinken and the crying sessions up in D.C.? That is like, that's pitiful.
Are there, I wish someone, because we had the stories about the colleges. I guess it's just the elite universities normally. But
like
the safe spaces after the election.
Canceling classes and everything.
Yeah, and I don't think they would have done that if the election had gone the other way.
No.
I don't think there would have been safe spaces for Trump voters in the halls of Harvard. But you're saying there are safe spaces for our
federal
officials
employees.
Also?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're having these sessions that are like counseling sessions for people who are freaked out. Part of it might be like, am I going to have my job in a couple of months?
Yeah, well, that's in that legit. Case, you know what I would do instead of going to a struggle session room?
No.
I'd go to work. I would maybe show them that you are worth your job.
Work harder, right? An interesting piece I read in the New York Times this morning. I just want to get your thoughts on this, and maybe it's not a surprise. It was one of these, you know, we're seeing these pop up now, articles, columns, opinion pieces, interviews. Brian Williams didn't do a bad job when he talked about where the left messed up.
Yeah.
So this was an article talking about going all the way back to 2016, how the Democrats have lost their base. And a lot of the things that they said were interesting. I thought they were pretty accurate about, you know, the things that are right in front of our face. We see them. We understand where they went with these policies and paying less attention to people's needs day to day. But the role that Trump played in all of that, constantly being a pain in their neck, a pain in other Republicans' necks when it all started out in 2016. They were like, this guy, he's not going to work for us, for our interests and our needs in the swamp. And how through time, he just became legitimized. And that had a lot to do with them making him illegitimate from the start. The press on him and the lawfare against him that started immediately, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what they never did come back to that. I was looking at the very end. They were kind of refreshing the reasons. They never said, oh, and by the way, all of the coverage has been completely biased.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that
somehow they leave that out.
Well, that what you said there, that at some point Trump, among a large portion of the electorate, gained legitimacy that he didn't have as a political leader previously.
Right.
I think the main thing that gave him that legitimacy was being in office for 4 years.
True.
Able to say, hey, we've had 3.5 years of this administration, and all of these things appear to be doing more poorly than when Trump was in office.
Yeah.
But here you are telling us that Trump can't do this when we saw it with our own eyes.
Yeah.
So I think that gave him as much legitimacy as anything. But your point that they just keep coming and keep coming after him and coming after him with thinner and thinner reasons. And at some point, the American people were like, Trump might actually care about what we care about, while you just seem to care about, you know, getting rid of Trump and having your own social justice initiatives take precedence over everything.
I thought it's so interesting just watching that those campaigns come down the stretch, and Trump and Vance were all about, here's what we need. Here's what we need to get straight. Here's what we need to do for you. Here's our plan. And the Democrats, none of that. After the big celebration and the Democratic National Convention, was it hope or whatever the
joy.
Word? Joy. Yeah, and the joy didn't last much longer, and then they tried to kill Trump again, and then the joy didn't last through that. They just demonized him to the highest level, and the American people saw right through it.
Well, and you know, what's amazing about all of this with Trump, you know, the transition team putting up nominees, you hear plans kind of almost coming into focus as he gets ready to take office in January. But for the people that voted for Trump, they voted for him, but now you kind of just sit back and wait. It's almost like at a rodeo, you know, when you nod your head and they let the bull out of the gate. You don't know which way he's going to go, but you voted for that bull.
That's right.
You voted to watch him come out the gate. You just don't know what's going to happen next. So already, I think, some of the decisions that have been made by Trump, traditionally, you would have Republicans, especially of the old guard, and they still are crowing about a lot of this, but traditionally you would have massive uproar from the GOP if another presidential nominee picked some of these candidates that Trump is picking. And one of these that I'm so interested to see how this works out, and I can't believe he's getting as much of a pass as he is for his selection for Treasury. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. And, you know, he could be a big-time Trump acolyte. He could end up being the best thing for our economy. But for a group that has gone after George Soros as hard as they have for as long as they have, and the story that, you know, George Soros, and this could very well, and I believe there's a lot of truth to the story that George Soros is overall just an evil guy who wants to see America fail, and that he only, the only thing he cares about, and we say this about a lot of people, but with Soros, I think a lot of people believe the only thing he cares about is money. And, you know, damn whatever country he has to kill to gain that money for his own coffers.
Doesn't matter.
And this Scott Bessent, who's been nominated, worked closely with Soros for a very long time, was actually working with Soros when Soros made his the biggest trade of his life that really put him on the map.
I mean, he almost ruined a nation there.
Yeah, it's where they bet against the British pound.
Yeah.
And Soros and his team made off, you know, with Soros made off with over $1 billion on that bet alone. And then they've been doing that to countries around the world. So you have this Bessent, who now is a major part of the Trump cabinet. He was a hedge fund manager, first at George Soros' firm, then later at his own, specialized in macro investing, you can imagine with the Soros team, analyzing geopolitical situations and economic data to wager on big picture market moves. He generated billions of dollars in profits betting on and against currencies, interest rates, stocks, and other asset classes around the world. So you hear that and you go, well, that would be awesome if he truly is on Team America, Team MAGA.
Yep.
And if he really, this guy who worked with Soros so closely for so many years, if he really wants to see America succeed, that's awesome. That's like having a ringer in that office. If he's been able to make massive correct bets on currencies around the world for decades, and you have him in that position in the federal government, that's a big deal. But what if he is, you know, full-on Soros acolyte? It wasn't that long ago Bessent was still working with Soros. 2011 to 2015, served as Soros's chief investment officer, earning more than $1 billion in profits for successful bets in Japan, including a wager against the Japanese yen. And then he left after 2015 to launch his own hedge fund firm, Key Square Capital Management.
Yeah, that's what I knew. I thought it was sooner than that. So if he's been, he was with Soros that late into the game.
9 years ago.
About the time Trump kicked off his first campaign.
Right. Yeah, so kind of interesting timing there. Now, again, I'm not saying that this Bessent is a bad guy or anything like that, but if you told somebody, you know, a year ago, hey, Trump will get into office, but by the way, he's going to have a pro-union labor secretary.
Right. He's going to have a Soros buddy.
And our Treasury sec will be a guy who was working with George Soros just 9 years ago.
Yeah,
and then 30 years ago when he made the biggest trade of his life.
And closely with him.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of rank, he was up there.
Yeah. So I think about, you know, so many analogies, but it was Bill Romanowski, the longtime Raiders linebacker, one of the meanest men in the world. They said, just like so many players over the years in so many different sports, he's a guy that you hate if you're playing against him and love if he's on your team.
Yeah,
it's kind of how I feel in my initial read through of this Bessent. You know, if he is still Soros all the way, then we might have just let a fox into the hen house.
Can't imagine that would happen.
I would hope not. It said he was motivated to step out from behind his desk and get involved with Trump's campaign in part because of a view that time is running out for the U.S. economy to grow its way out of excessive budget deficits and indebtedness. He gave his first interview after selection this week. Bessent said his policy priority will be to deliver on Trump's various tax cut pledges. So right now, it doesn't seem like Trump was just making false promises. It says those include making his first term cuts permanent, which is coming up. Also eliminating taxes on tips, like Trump said he wanted to do, Social Security benefits, and overtime pay. In this Wall Street Journal article, they say enacting tariffs and cutting spending will also be a focus, as will be maintaining the status of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, which right now we're kind of heading into the biggest fight the dollar has had in a long time, as you have the BRICS currency coming up with Brazil, Russia, India, China, Saudi Arabia. So that's a big fight we have on our hands coming up as Bessent potentially takes over as Treasury Secretary. He also, with tariffs, has kind of taken the Trump lead on this.
Yeah, he's in line with Trump on the tariffs, correct?
He is, but it seems to be maybe a little bit smaller right now of a priority than some of these other initiatives that Trump has planned. It says Bessent has argued that the president-elect's plans to extend tax cuts and deregulate parts of the economy would create an economic lollapalooza. Those are Bessent's words. He also said this, which is kind of frightening. We're going to have some kind of a grand global economic reordering. I'd like to be a part of it. I've studied this. We're going to have some kind of grand global economic reordering.
Now, those words are kind of frightening.
A little bit. He also said he's going to use a policy he calls 333, inspired by former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who was a close friend of Trump's. Remember, Abe was assassinated a couple years ago. And they said that Abe was able to revitalize the Japanese economy back in the 2010s with this same three-arrow economic policy. Bessent's three arrows include cutting the budget deficit to 3% of GDP by 2028, spurring GDP growth of 3% through deregulation, and then producing an additional 3 million barrels of oil or its equivalent a day. And he said he thinks about tariffs as a negotiating tool, and told investors in a letter, quote, "The tariff gun will always be loaded and on the table, but rarely discharged." Since then, he's been arguing for them more forcefully, I think, as Trump has begun arguing for them more forcefully, especially as a source of tax revenue if you're cutting all these other taxes. As far as tariffs, and I just wanted to play this clip for you while we're talking about the economy. There was an interview about whenever Tucker Carlson was kicked off of Fox News. Has that been 2 years at this point?
It's been
a while.
It's been a year for sure.
So you had Peter Navarro, who was an economic advisor for Trump during that first term. Remember, he ended up going to jail for contempt of Congress, just like Steve Bannon ended up doing. But this Peter Navarro, economic advisor, he's been teaching economics forever. He was a Democrat, became Republican, became Democrat again. I think he said he was a Reagan Democrat and a Clinton Republican is how he kind of laid himself out. But he went Team Trump in 2016 and really hates China. Feels like China's eating our lunch as far as trade balances and other things are concerned. But he kind of lays out what he thinks of tariffs. And I think he's the first to really put tariffs on the Trump radar years ago, Peter Navarro. He had an interview with Patrick Bet David about the time Tucker Carlson was let go from Fox News, and they were talking about how to use or not use tariffs. Here's part of that conversation.
Let's understand the function of tariffs. What we have in this world, writ large, and it's just not, you mentioned Germany, but it's Europe, it's Brazil, it's India, it's Vietnam. We have a world in which virtually all of the major trading partners charge systematically higher tariffs on the United States than we charge on them. So I just had a chapter come out in a book that the Heritage Foundation did, which is what are the policies for 2024 for the presidential candidates. And in that,
by the way, he's talking about Project 2025 there before it became a bugaboo, I guess. In the so that's kind of funny. He's talking about an article he wrote for that Heritage Foundation big book.
I dusted off from the president's State of the Union speech, I think it was in 2019, the Reciprocal Trade Act, right? The Reciprocal Trade Act simply says that, hey, we'll lower our tariffs to yours, but if you have higher tariffs than ours and you won't lower yours, then we'll raise those to yours.
You think that's effective?
It would be damn effective. You know who has the highest tariffs in the world relative to us? India.
So he talks a little bit about that. That act did not pass. You had a Democrat-led Senate, so I don't think it had much of a chance of getting through. He continues here.
Having said that, the function of tariffs is basically to offset unfair trade advantage. Okay, countries in the world, they engage in export subsidies, the VAT tax versus the income tax. The VAT tax is like a form of an export subsidy that makes it very difficult. China has massive government subsidies. They steal our intellectual property. They force our technology transfer. The whole function of the tariff is to level the playing field for the American worker. Now, the American worker is the most productive in the world and can compete on a level playing field, but not when other countries cheat.
So, yeah, with the news of Trump bringing up tariffs again yesterday, when he comes into office, 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico until the border crisis is solved. An additional
he's starting in the neighborhood.
Yeah, an additional 10 points to the China tariffs until the fentanyl issue is solved. I think if everyone kind of takes a step back and looks at tariffs as a bargaining tool, mm-hmm. like you heard there from Peter Navarro, and that will kind of be a starting point in negotiations. And they're not going to tariff things. Lutnick said this before. They're not going to tariff things that we don't make.
Right.
Because that wouldn't make any sense.
No, exactly. And I've heard that. I don't know if it was that interview. And then Navarro may have come out with a book, and that's why he was
He has a lot of books, yeah.
So the latest book came out, and he made stops like with Patrick Bet-David, and so it was either on that one. I've heard this exact same conversation. So it was on one of those podcasts where he was talking about that. Guys, you know, there are some empty suits out there. I don't think he's one of them. I think it's a pretty legitimately bright guy.
Yeah, he seems that way. Don't know how jail affected them or anything like that.
It didn't seem like it did.
Yeah.
It might have been 18 holes a day.
And this one I heard was before he went to jail. Okay. I'm not sure how tied in he'll be to this new Trump administration, but your thoughts on Besant, the George Soros acolyte, possible Treasury Secretary.
Very interesting.
And the thoughts on tariffs with Trump. We'll get to those texts, 251-343-0106. More Mobile Mornings on the way. .855 on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings coming to the text here in a moment. 251-343-0106 as we begin wrapping up for the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way in minutes. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law. Great folks over there at the local personal injury law firm. It's helped get fair compensation for a ton of people. They've been doing great work in our area for decades from their office down on Dolphin Street. And if you want to get to know a little more about the team behind Tobias and Comer Law, Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, Lacey Smith, that whole fantastic family they've created over there. Check out our podcast, Law 251. Talk to them every month at Tobias and Comer Law, and you can listen to those podcasts from the past at fmtalk1065.com or tobiascomerlaw.com. We've talked about pretty much everything in the world of personal injury and more. Also, check out their website, tobiascomerlaw.com. Plenty of info that's useful that you can use wherever you go, from car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents, and maritime injuries. Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. You can get the phone number for a free consultation anytime, 251-432-5001. Again, that website, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Jason on the text line says, as long as the 333 economic plan doesn't turn into the 666 version.
Yeah. Well, ironically, I mean, we wouldn't want that number, but that'd be pretty dang good turnaround. Well, except for the reducing debt. We do want to reduce the debt to at least 3% of GDP, not 6%. But if you could increase your GDP by 6% and start churning out 6 million more barrels per day, then that would be pretty good.
You know, this, well, okay, Besant, we'll see, but I'm at least as excited about the DOGE program.
Oh, yeah, the Department of Governmental Efficiency.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be right in front of our face. We're gonna see that roll out in real time.
Yeah, we sure will. Rock and Roll Doctor says, Besant was also an intern with Jim Rogers, native of Arkansas, prior to the Rogers-Soros combo that made all the money betting against currencies. Said, and who doesn't like Jim Rogers and his truth bombs? Pat, on the Besant nomination, which I've been just questioning with his ties to George Soros, Pat says his role was to make good bets, and that's what you're praising. So either way, it's a good thing. And I agree, Pat, if you're bringing in this, you know, this economic genius to run as Treasury Secretary, then you want him to be your guy. But if the main theme surrounding George Soros for decades now has been that he wants to see America crumble, how do you feel about bringing a George Soros acolyte to that role in the Trump administration when he was just working with him, you know, 9 years ago? Wasn't that long ago?
That's not a long time. And how removed is he really from Soros? Obviously, you would think, being part of Trump's team now, that he's very removed, completely removed. What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You wonder if some Republicans during the screening process, the nomination process, will be asking about some of that. Love the text, 251-343-0106. Jeff Poor Show coming up next.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, back in the morning, beginning at 6 a.m. with the three big things and a whole show rolling 3 hours. We'll talk to you then.